As I promised before, I have another guest. Dr. Burton went to St. Matthew's Medical School. He specializes in internal medicine. He received his residency training at Carilion, Virginia Tech, Carilion School of Medicine. He was there from 2012 to 2015. He has spent the last 6 years practicing medicine in Lexington before joining Bath Community Hospital in July. He was at the Carilion Stonewall Jackson Hospital, now Rockbridge Community Hospital. He practices in the Hot Springs Clinic and manages the hospitals program. Am I correct on those accounts?
That's correct.
Dr. Burton has been described as an avid outdoorsman who enjoys hunting, fishing, and hiking, and I can attest that I put him under fire off air. He stands up under all accounts. His outdoor bona fides have been met. Good morning, Dr. Burton. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Excited to be here.
Well, thank you for coming in. Really appreciate you taking time and coming in. We've been a couple months trying to get together. You got here in July. Dr. Sadovi got here in April, and I think that I've been trying to get you guys in here for about 2 or 3 months now, so schedules lined up, and thanks for coming in. Appreciate that. When did you know you wanted to practice medicine?
I was about 7 years old. Found out that I was colorblind, actually. I wanted to be a pilot, and you can't be a pilot if you're colorblind. And from that point forward, I just kind of always had an interest in anatomy and anything medically related. I was that kid that if you hurt yourself, broke your arm, I was sitting there poking it and saying, man, that's cool, and, you know, just wanted to know more and more about it and try and help people.
So, you know, at 7 years old, that's an interesting story, because at one part of your life, you have a dream sort of crushed. Mm-hmm. And then at another part, you figure out, well, you know, this is what you want to do. So what was the toughest part of medical school for you?
So St. Matthew's University is on Grand Cayman, and Grand Cayman is sounds all fancy and tropical and wonderful, but Grand Cayman's 5 miles long and 2 miles wide. There's 25,000, 27,000 people that live there at any given time, and then you have a transient population of about 150,000 people a day from cruise ships. So the isolation in the ocean, in the middle of nowhere, away from family, friends, was very, very different for me. I'd never really been truly away from home for any extended period of time. And, you know, you're isolated to a tiny island in the middle of the ocean. That was probably the hardest part, just in terms of becoming more adjusted to the changes of the culture itself.
So during that period, like, how often would you be able to come home? Like, would you, like, Christmas break, or, I mean, how did that work out for you?
Yeah, so we had trimesters. So we had a 2 to 3 week break between trimesters, and you try and get off island as much as you could during that period of time. Otherwise, you were on island for, you know, 3.5 months at a time.
Okay. And, you know, you practice internal medicine. Dr. Sadovi said that it was during his sort of circuit that he figured out what he wanted to do. When did you know internal medicine was for you?
So I was fortunate. I've got two uncles that both practice medicine. One's in emergency department and the other is internal medicine. And I did a lot of shadowing when I was in high school and through my early undergraduate time with my uncle that's a ER doc. And so I became enamored with emergency medicine and thought that that was, you know, my path up until my first rotation in medical school, which was internal medicine. And I grown up in the emergency department, recognizing what they did, how they practiced. And for me, the fascination with disease processes and seeing things through to the end is really what captured my interest with internal medicine itself.
If you're just joining us, the voice you just heard was that of Dr. Matthew Burton. He attended Matthew's Medical School in the Caribbean, specializes in internal medicine. He received his residency training at Carilion, Virginia Tech, Carilion School of Medicine, and for the last 6 years has practiced in Lexington at Carilion Stonewall Jackson. It's now Rockbridge Community Hospital. You're at the Hot Springs Clinic and the hospitalist program. Like, as a layperson, when I hear the term hospitalist or the hospitalist program, what does that mean? Like, explain that to me.
So it used to be 15, 20 years ago, you still had your primary care that would both take care of you outpatient, as well as if you got admitted to the hospital, they would come in and they would manage your care while you were there. As medical practice has become more and more specialized and as advances in technology continue to move forward, it's harder and harder to do both sides. And so the development of the hospitalist program is basically a general practitioner within the hospital setting.
Okay, that clears it up for me, makes me understand a little bit better. So I'll ask you a question that I asked Dr. Sadovi. So a typical day, if there's a such a thing, like what does a typical day look like for you then?
So right now I'm doing mainly clinic work while still overseeing some of the hospitalist operations. So my day-to-day is really just clinic visits. Depending on the day, I'll start at either 8 or 9 in the morning and go until 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and you just see patients. Establishing care, acute care visits, follow-up visits, hospital follow-ups, anything like that. If anything of interest or merit is going on in the hospital service, the providers will reach out to me with questions or anything like that for direction. Mainly right now, I'm more outpatient and then just overseeing the hospital side of things.
So in your background, you talked about being in high school and having the opportunity to shadow your uncle, who was an ER doc. How did those experiences help you moving into medical school? I mean, do you feel like they gave you an advantage over some of your classmates or?
Sometimes, like I said, I was so focused on the idea of I'm going to do emergency medicine that, I think it was kind of, I had the blinders on. So I wasn't fully cognizant all the time of the other areas of practice. And I think that that made it a little bit more difficult, actually. Although my interest in medicine has always been quite substantial. And so, any opportunity that I had through high school, I was actually an EMTB. I got my certification when I was 17 years old, I believe it was. Got high school credit and college credit for that. And did various different allied health science classes to further my interest, and that definitely prepared me more so than the shadowing itself.
You went through the rigorous training of medical school residency, the grind, you were a beneficiary of the 80-hour rule that Dr. Sadovi talked about. So you tip your cap to the generation of doctors before you, I guess. How do you decompress? And you talked about your outdoors. Like what does that relaxation period look like for you?
Hey, it's hunting season coming up. I'm gonna bow hunt. I'm gonna be up in the tree stand. Turkey season is a huge thing for me. I love fishing. I like floating the river. I do pretty much anything and everything that I can outdoors. I love rock climbing. I love the ocean, although not really ocean
Not
here.
close.
But at the same time, I like the mountains more. And fall's my favorite season. It's just around the corner here. So the changing the leaves, the smell in the woods, hearing the woods wake up in the morning. All of those things just really bring me a lot of joy. And then on top of that, hanging out with my family.
You're a North Carolina guy, and we talked off air a bit, but you do have ties to this area. Talk about your family ties to this community, this area.
Most definitely. My dad's dad was actually born in Covington. My parents are both from West Virginia. Dad's from Princeton area. That's where mom grew up as well. But she was actually born in Lewisburg, and her father was actually the warden of the boys' home that has become the West Virginia School of Osteopathic Medicine. So, Lewisburg and Covington, Lexington, all of those areas have always felt very, very much like home. There's some sort of just calmness that I get in this part of the country, and specifically in Southwest Virginia.
Well, if you're just joining us, that was the voice of Dr. Burton. He's been giving us some insight into him, his medical practice, and the road he's taken to get here. So I've got a couple questions we're gonna get you out the door on, and one is, relates to the outdoor. Do you have a bucket list fishing hole or outdoor hunting spot you want, like, anywhere in the world you want to go with?
I'd love to go out to New Mexico and do an elk hunt. But now, as elk repopulation is happening in this area too, I think they had the first several Virginia license that were done this year as well. So really, any kind of elk hunt to me would just be absolutely amazing. Big mountains are really, really quite intimidating, and the challenge of that out west definitely piques my interest. And really, any fishing, man. If I can fish, I'm happy.
Well, I want to say this. You sort of a variation of the question asked Dr. Sadovi. You're younger than me, or if we're the same age, you've aged incredibly well. But I'm going to go with you being younger than me, you being fresher to the schooling process. If you were to talk to some of the kids in our listening area, and give them some advice about pursuing a career in medicine, what sort of classes or skills should they be focusing on now?
So, first and foremost, I would say, much like Dr. Sidovi did, just keep an open mind. But, you know, healthcare in general, we're under a major, major nursing shortage at this point, as well as any kind of primary care. So those are two big things, but really just anything allied health sciences that you can do, the more exposure you have, the more you can be somewhat self-sufficient in care settings. You know, can you draw blood? Can you order different tests? Do you know how to interpret those tests? All of those things come from your training, and the more exposure you have, the easier it becomes over time to amass that knowledge.
And I will get you out the door with a question I did ask Dr. Sidovi as well. You know, from your point of view and where you were, and obviously you two were in different places, you know, what was the pandemic like for you?
So my role over at Stonewall Jackson, which is now Rockbridge Community, as you mentioned, was inpatient and hospital service. And as Dr. Sidovi had said, the beginnings of the pandemic were very odd. It was this perpetual state of almost fear on the inpatient side of things, but then you basically lost all the patients. There were periods of time where there weren't really anybody in the hospital. There wasn't anybody there. And as time moved forward and as we started to see COVID filter into this area of Virginia, it became quite intense. Critical access hospitals have 25 beds that you can staff. And so that means that at any given moment, you can have up to 25 patients that are admitted. And routinely, towards the middle of the pandemic, and as the pandemic kind of raged on, we were seeing and taking care of 30, 35 patients. And so, you know, these are community members. These are people that you've seen for years. They're your friends. They're oftentimes family. And seeing them struggle and when people died and weren't doing well, it was quite difficult. And you took a lot of that stress, you know, home with you as well. And so it just, you know, it was a very difficult time. You know, on the back end of it, we've learned a lot from it, and I think that we're in a much better state to be able to manage the care, and obviously it's gotten less severe as we've gone forward. I don't know if it's just the exposures to COVID, number of times you've had it, and that kind of thing, but it's an entirely different viewpoint on the back end, and it's much, much easier, but man, in the middle of it, it was tough.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, Dr. Burton, I really appreciate you taking your time, getting out of your maybe comfort zone, coming in and having a conversation with me. What we're going to do is hear from an underwriter. We're going to hear some music, and we'll get back to the show. Stay tuned to Allegheny Mountain Radio.